Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Our guest is Troy Rang from Denver 7, our Broncos insider, joining us courtesy of Tranny Law. Troy, we just gave you $60 million. Congratulations. Way to go.
Are you coming to work?
Well,
I will not be coming to work.
We're not giving it just to you. We're giving you $60 million, and now you can run the Denver Broncos here. That's what John Elway has in front of him. Based on what you saw today, the mood of things, and, you know, where we're going here, what do you think they're going to use that $60 million on?
Yeah, I mean, free agency for defense makes a little more sense than given the number of tackles and receivers in this draft. I would try to find an inside linebacker that gives me options. I mean, maybe I still pick up Todd Davis's option at $6 million. It's reasonable, but they've got to change the complexion of that because they have coverage issues with their linebackers, even as Alexander Johnson showed promise. So I'm looking for an inside linebacker, and I'm going to have to spend money on a corner, whether that's keeping Chris Harris on a three-year deal with 2 years guaranteed, or, you know, do I want to play in the market for a Byron Jones? I mean, he might ask for 15 or 16. So I would go defense and free agency and then try to provide, get a veteran tackle on the cheap, that just kind of a swing guy to protect me. If things go sour in the draft, I would want some kind of tackle protection, basically for Juwan James's injury history, if nothing else, to protect myself there.
Okay, just real quickly, yes or no, are these guys back? Justin Simmons?
Yes, he'll be back on the franchise tag at the very least, with the idea they'd work toward a long-term deal.
This was just a yes or no. Hey, Chris Harris.
I'm going to say yes today. Yes.
Okay. Shelby Harris.
No.
Derek Wolfe.
Yes.
Okay. So you think, now I'll give you a little bit of time to explain it, but more or less, you've got three out of the four key free agents on defense coming back. Our defense is going to look pretty similar, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see. I mean, because Wolf's going to have to take a reasonable deal, and what is reasonable in his mind, and is that a heavy discount? You know, I mean, because of his injury history and age, Shelby Harris is in line to, you know, make $11, $12 million. I can't imagine the Broncos would pay that. You know, if they do, then there's no Chris Harris. I mean, they're going to have to make choices between one of the Harrises. There's no way in my mind they're both back just because of the budget, not because of their play. Their defense, in my scenario, I lose Will Parks, too.
Valuable asset.
You know, and I lose Connor McGovern. I don't bring him back because I think they're going to go with Patrick Morris as center. So I'm predicting today, and again, this is a fluid situation, you keep Chris Harris and you find a way to keep Derek Wolfe, and you lose Shelby Harris, Will Parks, and Connor McGovern.
Hold on. You just said something made my eyes pop. Are you hearing anything about Patrick Morris? Where's that coming from? Patrick Morris to be the center?
I just know they like him a lot, and that if it gets to the point with McGovern where he wants real center money, you know, top end, higher end center money, I can't see him paying that. He's a nice player. He's not a top of the market player. You know, if the market, he's a guy I could see him say, hey, they'll go to him early, give him a kind of a lower deal, say, do you want this? And if not, test the market. If the market's flat, they would be interested. But they like Morris enough that they're not going to overextend themselves to keep Connor McGovern.
Don't forget, Morris, too, is a Steelers Munchak guy.
Right.
Right.
He was with Munchak with the Steelers, and he liked him there too.
So, Troy, we listened to Pat Shurmur talk about, you know, the fact of his leadership and leading a young team with the Giants, and now he's encountered another young team here with the Denver Broncos, and both Tyler and I have spoken to independent people, and we both heard some things about Pat Shurmur that really didn't make us too happy as far as how he was viewed from his leadership standpoint. Knowing as though he's encountering a young team, how do you think his mentality is going to mesh with what we have in the locker room on the offensive side?
Well, it's a great question because there was certainly it was a little bit of a roller coaster ride for him in New York. At times, the team rallied around him. At times, it looked like they quit on him. There was complaints about how he used Saquon Barkley. Basically, those complaints never really ended, that he wasn't being used enough and he disappeared at times. So you know, as an offensive coordinator, the criticisms you're saying, again, they've been out there in terms of relating to a team as a head coach. I haven't heard that when he was an offensive coordinator. That is a different role. I know it seems like we're splitting hairs, but as the offensive coordinator, you're not in charge of the whole room. You're in charge of your guys, and he's a veteran that will command respect in that way. And it was curious because Vic said it wasn't experience as much as scheme with him. I mean, they're all in on this. So how will he relate to that? Well, he's got experience relating to young guys, and he did get the, you know, he produced a nice year out of Daniel Jones. 3,000-plus yards, 24 touchdowns, 12 picks. I mean, that's a solid rookie season. So that alone is the reason I'm encouraged because I believe he could get 30 touchdowns, 12 picks out of Drew Lock in his second year, which puts them in a position to be a playoff team.
How would you describe the mood today with these two guys?
I mean, they don't fill up a room. I mean, they're not winning press conferences. That's not Vic's way. Vic is funny. Like, if you read the transcripts, he's got a dry wit about him. He's funny, but in terms of a press conference setting, he doesn't win the press conference per se. He'll have a couple of quips that are funny, but and Pat Shurmur, you could tell he coached in New York. He wasn't giving anything.
Right.
He's not. He's been to back pages in New York. So
is he mad at D-Mac? Is he mad at D-Mac?
No, he wasn't. I didn't take it as mad as much as like that's above my pay grade. I don't make those decisions. I'm not falling for that. I just coached in New York. And that's what I took it as.
See, I'm not paying you.
No, I mean, and by the way, compared to New York media, we're a bunch of pussycats.
Oh, I can vouch for that. I played for the Redskins,
right?
Yeah,
it's nothing like that. We're warm and cuddly and fuzzy. I thought Fangio was actually way more kind of open and relaxed and generous with his opinion. I thought he felt it felt comfortable with Vic. Shurmur, you know, is just meeting everybody for the first time. I thought Vic was actually kind of warm.
Yeah, I like Vic because he reminds me of a baseball manager, a little curmudgeon-y. He's got a quick wit and a quick, you know, every time you think he's going to zig, he zags. He's got an answer that's always a little different than what you expect. Like today when he talked about the offense, he's like, well, you talk about balance. Well, I'll tell you what I think balance is. And he goes into an explanation that's more layered that you wouldn't expect. And that's the Vic Fangio I like because he'll have a counter to something, not just to be a contrarian, but he really has thought it through like a professor. Like, well, you solved the equation that way. I did it using these variables. And I appreciate that about Vic. And, you know, and I think his players kind of warmed up to that idea. He's different in that way.
Yeah.
But again, this whole idea that, well, he's not the, you know, funnest guy to be around. They didn't need that. That you just moved on from a coach who was the player's best friend. He's instilled more discipline and he's instilled more toughness. You know, 7-9 is not what they wanted, but you can honestly say coming out of that year, that team became tougher and more disciplined. Now can they become better? But they did take some steps from a cultural standpoint and an identity under Vic last year that I think were encouraging.
All right. Thank you, Troy Rang, Denver 7, our Broncos Insider, brought to you by Tranny Law. You know, things did get better at the end for the Broncos, not fall apart. And they didn't fall apart at 7-9. They improved to 7-9. I think there's lots of rooms for optimism. Well, Mike Evans is at it again, saying dumb things and misrepresenting almost everything. And we'll detail another example of that next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.